Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we are your co-hosts. On behalf of us both, thank you so much for listening.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org to donate. We'd love for you to become a part of our family. We're on a mission to help strengthen your mental health and relationships with God and those you love the most. Help us as we work to strengthen, again, families and bring a message of help, hope, and encouragement to today's generations.
Your gift ensures this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's show, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's go ahead and get started.
My guest today is Dr. Jeff Myers. Jeff is the president of Summit Ministries, a nationally recognized expert in worldview training for young adults. His leadership has transformed Summit into a global movement, equipping the next generation to champion a biblical worldview. Dr. Myers transforms beliefs with his humor and fresh insight about a Christian worldview. He's the author of 19 books, including Understanding the Faith, Understanding the Times, and Understanding the Culture textbooks, which are studied by tens of thousands of students. He earned his PhD degree from the University of Denver. Jeff and his wife, Stephanie, and their family live in Colorado. For over 60 years, Summit Ministries has empowered students, parents, educators, and church leaders to equip the world with God's truth through transformative resources, relevant instruction, and life-changing experiences. Their dynamic programs, curriculum, equip and support rising generations with a biblical worldview so they can confidently navigate complex cultural issues and transform a broken world. Recognized globally as a leader in apologetics, cultural engagement, and biblical worldview training, Summit Ministries is led by renowned faculty and experts dedicated to shaping up-and-coming influential Christian leaders. To learn more about Summit's ministry, to learn more about Summit's mission and programs, visit summit.org. That's summit.org. Hey, Jeff, thank you so much for taking time to join us, and we appreciate what God's doing in and through Summit Ministries.
Tim, it's great to be with you again.
Hey, as we get started, you and Kathy Cook have taken a bold step in a direction with a new book called Raising Gender Confident Kids. Jeff, I guess I just want to start out with, what an explosive issue in culture. How in the world did we get to this place?
You're right, it is an explosive issue. About 30% of young Christians identify as LGBTQ. And the number of young people identifying in this way has, as you mentioned, exploded. Young adults are 1,600% more likely than people who are in their 50s or above to identify as LGBTQ. So clearly something has happened. And it's several things that have happened. First of all, social media happened. Kids no longer just compare themselves to kids who are in their own class, their own school, their own family. They compare themselves to young adults all over the world. And social media companies know how to monetize controversy and anger to get attention and to get eyeballs. And so social media has been a big part of it. Another part of it, Tim, is the education system. This is hard to believe, but half of the government-funded schools in the United States of America are all in on teaching gender ideology. So children are going to get this every single day when they are in the classroom. Now, the teachers aren't completely sold on it. Two-thirds of teachers say they do not think that teaching gender ideology is appropriate for elementary students. Only 4% say they think it's a good idea. But the administrators of schools have bought into an ideology that is based on a 100% lie. They're doing their dead level best to destroy the futures of this rising generation.
Jeff, most of the parents I talk to, they really are concerned because you're talking about the classroom to bathrooms to locker rooms, you name it. This is everywhere. And you're right, the education system has shifted from education to indoctrination, if you will. In the midst of the storm, kids, they're pretty easily influenced by their peers. And, you know, those statistics, those are shocking. They're breathtaking, really. The CDC coming out with those, nearly 30% of Gen Z adults identify as LGBTQ. I mean, it's just like, this is beyond amazing to me, Jeff. And what do you think is really driving? I know social media, we get education, et cetera. What is it that's really going on that parents need to understand?
Well, I feel like I'm in a unique position to know this, and Dr. Kathy Cook, my co-author of the book, Raising Gender Confident Kids, agrees with me on this. when we go into schools and talk to students, or we're working with students in our Summit Ministry summer programs, we ask them what really is going on. And here, this sounds strange, because it's hard to believe that a lie that's based on no factual support at all has gotten such traction, but this is the way it is. Young adults today have become convinced that gender falls on a spectrum, that you have extreme masculinity on one end and extreme femininity on the other. Think G.I. Joe and Barbie. And since none of us are either really G.I. Joe or Barbie, then we all fall somewhere in between. And that in-between space is called transgender or non-binary. You're transgender if you've come to believe that you've been born in the wrong body. You're non-binary if you just feel like you're not G.I. Joe or Barbie. And so this is the way the transgender ideology has gotten essentially 100% of people to be included in their little club. If you're not one of those or the other, if you don't meet all of those stereotypes, then you're non-binary. And a lot of young people just claim that non-binary label because this agenda is so prevalent in their schools that it's not, to them, worth fighting. There's like, okay, I'm non-binary, and then people leave them alone. Otherwise, they get called names, they get called bigots, they're told that they're transphobic or whatever else. The thing is, there's no basis for the gender spectrum. It literally exists nowhere. It doesn't exist in biology. There's no social science support for this. It's a completely made-up idea that has overtaken a generation.
So in the midst of it, people are talking about weaponizing empathy. The haters you're pushing kids to suicide. These children who are struggling, they're in some type of insanity run here. Maybe they've got parents, by the way, who are pushing them in this direction or what have you. And it creates this chaos, if you will, in culture, especially with children who want to be kind. Kids are tough on each other, but they also look to each other for direction. Eventually, they move away from really following their parents and start looking more to their peers, Jeff. Does that make sense?
Well, I think so. I think this is it's much more peer-driven than we might like to acknowledge. And here's how that happens. So teachers will say in the class every day, what are your pronouns today? You're clearly interested in boy things, even though you're a girl. Maybe you've been born in the wrong body, which is an evil thing to say to a child. Absolutely evil. Because it does, as you say, almost guarantees that they're going to have mental health struggles. It's a kind of trauma that is completely avoidable if we weren't covered up with this ideology. And so some of the students in the class, maybe ones who've been sexualized, end up feeling like they have a license to groom their classmates. And so they will say things like, and these are actual examples that I'm using right now. I had a student who's a female who expressed a desire to go into engineering. She was told, if you are interested in engineering, you are a boy trapped in a girl's body. It sent her into a spiral. Here's another example. A young girl who was interested in art and trying to make friends at school, in her new school, was asked to come to an after-school art club. The after-school art club had nothing to do with art. They just showed the children the gender spectrum and asked where they fit. And if they said, oh, I don't really feel like I'm a Barbie, so I must be somewhere here toward the middle, they say, congratulations, you're transgender. And they played music and they celebrated and they had little flags and they gave her stickers and so forth. This girl was 12 years of age when this happened. Here's another example. A young man, tough kid, big kid, you know, not the kind of kid you would ever think would be susceptible, but he was in a new school and trying to make friends. And he found that there were some guys in the school who were interested in being his friends. They got his phone number and they started texting him to groom him for sexual contact. And it was only because his mother saw his phone that she realized what was happening. He didn't know what was happening. He was fairly innocent of the entire process and ended up having to move to a different school. Why did those boys feel that they could do it? Because they were being told every single day in class, we're all sexual beings. We all, anybody can have sex with anybody. And those young boys felt a license then to in turn become predators toward their very classmates.
Jeff, what is the research showing then, I guess, here on this weaponizing thing? It's kind of misrepresented, because it's these children are not doing well anyway. You've got mental health issues, right? And mom and dads need to understand this a little bit more. And people in culture need to understand this too, that speaking truth in love is important here.
No question. And in our book, Raising Gender Confident Kids, this is really the key point that Dr. Kathy Cook and I are focusing on. Gender is not something that you have to become. From God's perspective, it's something that you are. So you don't have to struggle wondering what your gender is. You are male or female, and you were designed by God to be male or female on purpose. We don't have to pay attention to the cultural stereotypes. If you are a boy who likes music or you're a girl who likes soccer, you're still a boy or a girl. This idea that you've been born in the wrong body somehow, or that you're just, you know, you've gone crossways on this little spectrum, none of this is true. And once students can see that it's a lie and become confident that they can, in fact, live as God designed them to live, then things start to change dramatically. And when young people make that decision, it's uncomfortable being an adolescent. Well, welcome to reality. Every young adult has struggled through adolescence. Every person who's ever lived has struggled through adolescence. So your discomfort does not mean you're born in the wrong body. It just means that you need to learn to become comfortable being uncomfortable. And you will gain character during this time that will grow you into being a mighty man or woman of God.
You're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, co-host here, along with my son, Dr. Zach Clinton. My guest today is Dr. Jeff Myers. Jeff is the president of Summit Ministries, nationally recognized expert in worldview training for young adults. He, along with our good friend, Dr. Kathy Cook, have a new book out called Raising Gender Confident Kids. Jeff, in the midst of it, if I'm a mom or dad, I'm turning this up now and thinking to myself, okay, listen, my kids are up against it in culture. I need a great plan. Somebody needs to talk to us about how do we speak in, because I can see a lot of parents being terrified of this spin. If the prevalence of the statistics are true from the CDC and more, we don't have a problem. We got a really serious problem. Even inside the church, we've got to address. So, Jeff, what did you guys learn, and how do you begin to take parents on a journey here?
Tim, so much of it is just learning how to bring it up. It's something you can't ignore it. You have to be able to talk about it. So in the book, Raising Gender Confident Kids, we offer, to start with, about 200 different conversation starters on every imaginable topic, from masculinity to femininity to, mommy, why does that bearded man wear a dress? Those kinds of things. How do you handle those sorts of conversations? And incidentally, Tim, because of a donor, we can give this book away to people for free. If you just go to genderconfidentkids.com, you can get your free copy. And I will say, and this is our advancement team telling me this, if you are able to sponsor to give the book away to a few other people, if you're financially able to do that, great. But that's our gift to you. We want this book distributed as widely as possible.
I want you to share that again, just to make sure parents understand what the offer was that just came from Summit Ministries.
Yes, there has been a donor who has said, I want this book widely distributed. I want you to be able to give it for free to parents who are going to need it. So you just go to genderconfidentkids.com and you can get a copy of the book. That's the first part of your plan. The second part of your plan is to work with your children at different ages. If children are of elementary age, we don't need to begin bringing up all of these things that the culture says we need to bring up about sexuality. I mean, there are groups out there saying, starting at age 2, we need to sexualize children. This is evil. We don't need to do that. But when your children start asking questions or they notice something that's odd, and I gave an example already earlier, mommy, that man has a beard, but is wearing a dress. What is happening? When your child asks that kind of question, you need to be prepared to say, honey, let's sit down and talk about this. A lot of people get confused in life about who they are. And sometimes they get so confused that men may actually think that they might be women, and women think that they might be men. And the way they deal with this for themselves is by dressing and trying to act the way they think the other person of the opposite sex would act. And I want you to know, honey, God made you as a girl. He made you that way on purpose. And girls can draw and play sports and climb trees and do all kinds of fun things. But God made you that way on purpose. And I love the design that God has given to you. So be prepared to have that kind of a conversation.
Jeff, that's a great piece. And I love how in the book you bring clarity to these kind of conversations, and they're very important. What if your son or daughter is now struggling personally? They've moved from, hey, Joey thinks he's a girl, Josephine or something, and now it's, I feel differently about me. Jeff, are you taking us down that road too in the book for parents to have those kind of conversations with their children personally?
For sure. So, Tim, the way we do two things. First of all, we wrote this book to avoid, to prevent the struggle. We want parents to do something that we probably should all have been doing all along, which is affirming the maleness or femaleness of our children as something that's God designed, that God made as good. And we do a lot of that in the book. In fact, we give the characteristics and how boys are smart in a different way than girls, and some of the differences that are biological that end up changing the way we interact with society. But there are going to be a lot of parents whose child is struggling. And if this is for you, parent, I just want to say you're not crazy and you're not alone. 30 to 40% of parents, even those in the church, have a child who is struggling with their gender identity at the present time. The first thing is to not freak out. Children have told us they don't like to talk to their parents if they can see their parents' face showing concern, because it makes them feel scared or ashamed that they've somehow harmed their parents. So you've got to not freak out. You've got to begin asking questions in a very straightforward, I would not say robotic fashion, but non-emotional, what Dr. Kathy Cook calls your stone face, and ask questions like, can you help me understand what happened to you that causes you to see yourself the way you do? It could be a book, you know, they were given Sparkle Boy to read, or when Aiden became a brother or something like that, and now they're confused.
Some experience issue.
Some experience that happened. Now, God forbid it was an actual abuse experience. If it does turn out that it's an abuse experience, then you want to have a connection with a Christian therapist who will help you know the appropriate way to deal with that. Because those actual physical abuse experiences, they don't always lead to trauma, but they certainly can lead to trauma, and they definitely lead to a change in the way a child understands himself or herself in relation to the world. But let's just say it's an experience in school. They were talking, and I have a daughter who's a helicopter pilot. If she grew up today, she would undoubtedly be told, if you're going into a male-dominated field, and only one helicopter pilot out of 100 is a woman, then you're clearly born in the wrong body, right? And if she wasn't confident, she might end up believing that. So I would have to get back to what actually happened in that conversation. What did the person say? And then try to figure out what actually took place. What was the turning point in that? You want probably to have some a relationship with a Christian therapist, and you want to talk with them in advance, because as we all know, there are therapists who say they're Christian, but they will do whatever the state tells them to do, even if the state says you have to transition that child. So you have to find out in advance, if I bring a situation like this to you, how are you going to follow biblical principles in this situation? But that's going to be a key part of it. That's the easy step, believe it or not. The other steps are harder. You're going to have to figure out how to have a change in your child's environment. It probably is going to mean going to a new school. Now, fortunately, we live in a time where homeschooling is a live option for people. A lot of great homeschool support groups and curriculum, Christian schools, things like that. But if what is happening to the child is happening in school, a change in that environment is going to be necessary. I think the third thing is that whatever friend group has caused the child to begin believing this needs to change as well. And then they're, I would say, strengthening the relationships with the parents. That's what I would focus on in a therapy context for young adults in this situation. They're especially the relationship with the same gender parent. And so let's say a child is in a family where the dad's not around. Okay, well, I would look for a church that has a strong youth group with men who are volunteers, who've been screened and who can be trusted. I would look for, there are different Christian scouting type organizations. There, you might be able to find male mentors there. A grandfather figure can often play this role, but for a boy, there needs to be an older man. For a girl, there needs to be an older woman who can be trusted. Those are difficult steps. Now, but when those steps are taken, Tim, there's evidence for this. 90% plus of young people for whom those steps are taken end up living congruently with their biological gender by the time they finish puberty.
See, and people don't go, they're not sharing that kind of research. That's so critical, so important. Jeff, at the end of the day, what's happening in culture is giving to children the decision-making power when they're kids. This is a world where you come in anchored in truth, what says the Lord. And then as we do that, we bathe it in prayer, earnest prayer. And then with a heart of compassion, speaking truth in love, we step into this place. And it's a journey. As moms and dads, we love our kids, and we want to, in a lot of ways, be Christ in the flesh to them. And so we need resources like Raising Gender Confident Kids to help us understand how to have those conversations and move in and out in a meaningful way, coherent way, Jeff, so that Christ is exalted and we stand anchored in who we are and what we believe. Jeff, you had mentioned earlier in the broadcast a special invitation, opportunity for our listeners, and I wanted you to share that again about getting a copy of this brand new book, Raising Gender Confident Kids.
Yeah, Raising Gender Confident Kids is available for free to the people who are watching or listening this program right now. And that is thanks to a donor who felt very strongly that this topic needed to get out there. If you are one of the donors, do you think I could actually buy for $7 a copy or five copies to give to other people, and you figure out who those people are, but whatever. But we want you to have this book for free as our gift to you. Just go to genderconfidentkids.com and you'll see the book there as well as other resources, including our answers to the 24 most difficult questions that we've ever received related to gender ideology.
Jeff, on behalf of my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, our entire team here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, we appreciate you and the great work, again, you're doing at Summit Ministries and appreciate this new work by you and Kathy, Dr. Kathy Cook, on Raising Gender Confident Kids. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people?
If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.